朋友，你在收听的是活在耶稣里网站提供的福乐人生讲坛。今天的讲员是李秀全牧师。愿神的话语滋润你的心田，使你能更好地认识神和认识自己，并坚定地信靠神。
我深深地相信，一个蒙福的教会不是说我们在神的面前得着多少的福气。
I firmly believe that a blessed church is not measured as far as how much we receive from God，
而是我们这些人可以为主摆上多少，
but rather how much we can give to God。
在我心里面有一个很迫切的祷告，求主让这个教会成为更蒙福的教会。
I have an earnest prayer in me that this church can be more blessed in our God's eyes。
不要忘了主的话告诉我们说，施比受更为有福。
Let's not forget His word that the gift is more blessed than the one received。
希望有一天这个教会的主任牧师也被差派到外面去做宣教士。
And I hope that one day your pastor can be sent by you to the faraway places。
刚才吴牧师带我们念尼希米记第八章，好不好？请各位再翻到这一段的圣经。
We have just read the chapter 8 of the book of Nehemiah. Maybe we can turn back to that chapter again.
我们知道旧约圣经分成三个大类。
We know the Old Testament are divided into three big divisions.
从创世纪到以斯帖，我们叫做历史书，就是历史书的这一类。
From the book of Genesis to the book of Esther, they were concerning with historical events.
如果从约伯记到这个雅歌，我们叫做旧约圣经里面的这个诗歌类。
And you can consider from the book of Job to the Songs of Songs as a division of Psalms and poetry.
以赛亚书一直到末了到马拉基书是旧约的先知书的这一类。
And from Isaiah to the last book, the book of Malachi can be considered the book of prophets.
今天我们读的尼希米跟前面的以斯拉跟以斯帖这三卷书是在旧约历史书里面的最后的三卷。
And the book of Nehemiah and also the book of Esther and Ezra are the three last books of the books of history.
这三卷书主要是记载这些犹太人从巴比伦被掳归回以后的一段很精彩的一段的记载。
It documented some important events when the Israelites are come back from the capture in the Babylon.
如果我们注意以斯拉记跟尼希米记，我们发现这两卷书在内容的布局上有非常相似的地方。
And if you look at those three books, we can find out a lot of similarity in terms of the event of development.
这两卷书都很自然地分成两个部分。
Ezra and Nehemiah are divided into two separate divisions.
比如说以斯拉第一章到第六章是讲到圣殿怎么样被建造起来。
For the example from chapter 1 to 6 on the book of Nehemiah, it talks about the rebuilding of the temple.
从第七章到第十章，我们看见不只是圣殿盖起来，那个时候他们开始恢复那些圣殿里面的活动，就是敬拜。
In Ezekiel 7 to 10, we're not talking about the rebuilding of the temple, we're talking about rebuilding of the worship.
尼希米记也是一样。
And similarly in Nehemiah.
第一章到第六章我们看见有一个部分，第七章到十三章分成另外一个大的段落。
And we see the division between chapter 1 to 6 and then 7 to 13.
第一章到第六章我们简单用两个字，就是说他们建墙，把那个耶路撒冷外面的墙把它盖起来。
The first division talk about the rebuilding of the wall before, outside of Jerusalem.
那么第七章到十三章不是讲建墙，是建人，把人怎么样在神的面前建造起来。
And the last portion is not talking about the building of walls, but rather than building of people.
其实尼希米记在最近这几个月来一直在我的心里面，希望总有一天要跟弟兄姊妹来查考尼希米里面的一些信息。
And the book of Nehemiah really moved me recently, and I earnestly hope for an opportunity to share with you.
当我们教会现在面临双管齐下，一方面我们希望北区植堂，一方面我们希望购地建堂的时候。
As the philosophy of this church has been decided upon two separate events in terms of planting churches and also building a new church.
我们需要这两方面的坚固，也需要这两方面的平衡。
And we need construction in those two aspects and indeed the progress in those two aspects in a balanced manner.
也就是在最近这几个礼拜我常常提到的，当一个教会要建造的时候，我们需要有硬体的建造，我们需要有软体的建造。
And I have said before, for a church to bill it involved an aspect of software and another aspect of hardware, if you would.
以斯拉或者是尼西米这两本书的前半段都是提到当时的硬体的建造，不管是建造圣殿或者是建造耶路撒冷的城墙。
One may consider the first portion of the book of Ezra and Nehemiah concerning the hardware of the church in terms of the building of the physical aspect.
到了这两卷书的后半段，我们就看见他们开始一些软体的建造。
And the later part of all those two books concern, if you would, the software aspect of the church.
如果有人问起来到底以斯拉尼西米跟我们中国人的这个年代，大概是什么时候？大概是在我们中国春秋战国的时候。
One may say that the historical era of Ezra and Nehemiah corresponding to an era of Chinese history, 春秋。
我们知道孔子是大概在公元前551年生，478年离开世界。
And of course, Confucius lived an era of 551 to 478 BC.
那么以斯拉他带着这些以色列人回到这个犹太地，是大概在孔子死了之后的二十年，大概在公元前458年。
And Ezra returned to Israel with the captive people about 458 BC.
那尼西米呢？大概离开孔夫子死的时候，大概有33年，是公元前445年的时候。
And Nehemiah may be in the area of 445 BC.
在圣经里面，我们看见尼西米只花了52天的时间，就把整个耶路撒冷的城墙给建立起来。
The Bible recorded that Nehemiah spent only 52 days in the rebuilding of the temple wall.
请各位看这个尼西米记第七章，我们看第一节，他在这里告诉我们说，城墙修完了。
In the first verse of the chapter 7 of the book of Nehemiah, it said that the wall was completed.
到第五节，尼西米说，我的神感动我的心。
And the fifth verse, it said that my God moved my heart.
然后他就开始把建城墙的工作告一个段落，开始建造以色列这些百姓。
So that he has completed the building of the temple physically, and then start the building of the people spiritually.
我想最近大家看电视、看报纸都很关心黄石公园的事情。
Of course, recently when we read out newspaper and television, we are concerned about Yellowstone.
昨天听说有60迈的这个风风速，那么对住在这个黄石公园附近的一些百姓已经造成很大的威胁。
And we saw a lot of the devastations because of the fire to that area.
前天有位弟兄告诉我说，哎呀，以前有机会到黄石公园，现在再去已经面目全非了，因为那个很漂亮的那些景色都已经不同了。
A friend confided to me that all the beauties of Yellowstone has been gone and we should have been there earlier.
但是中国人说十年树木，我们盼望再给十年，我们又可以恢复黄石公园那个原来的那个壮观的景色。
The Chinese said that you can build trees in about 10 years and hopefully in about 10 years there will be a rebirth of Yellowstone.
但是中国人也接着说十年树木要百年才能够树人。
But the Chinese also said that even though you build trees in 10 years, but you need 100 years to build character.
物质的建造不容易，但是我们知道灵性的建造更艰难。
It is difficult to build in terms of material goods, but it's even more so in the spiritual need.
但是你在尼西米记里面，你一直看到，不管是不容易也好，不管是艰难也好，他是一个非常乐观的一个领袖。
And you can see in the book of Nehemiah that he's a very optimistic leader.
常常我在想，到底什么叫悲观，到底什么叫乐观？
Many a times I ponder, what's the difference between an optimistic person and a pessimistic one?
当你在一个小团体做一个领袖的时候，常常求主给他一个有乐观的这样的一个生命。
When you're a leader in a small group, you always pray that you can be an optimistic leader.
我忘记从什么地方看到有那样一句话，我觉得可以对我们每一位有一些帮助。什么叫做乐观？什么叫做悲观？
I read once dealing with what's the difference between optimistic and pessimistic individual.
他说悲观的人在每一次的机会里面都看见难处。
Is that a pessimistic individual saw difficulties in all opportunities?
乐观的人是在每一次的难处里面都看见机会。
Yep, an optimistic one see all kinds of opportunities even in crisis.
我站在这里讲，我看下面弟兄姊妹的反应。 好像没有真正抓住这句话的意思，我再说一遍，什么叫做悲观？悲观就是在每一次的机会里面，他只看到难处。
May I repeat? A pessimistic individual see difficulties and problems in all opportunities.
相反的，乐观的人是在每一次的难处里面，他可以看到一些机会。
Yep, a pessimistic, optimistic individual see opportunity in any critical time.
所以我们在尼希米记里面，我们看见尼希米实在是一个神特别在那样一个艰难的时期拣选的一个以色列人当时的一个领袖。
So we can see that in the book of Nehemiah, how God had picked this leader of the Israel people in this critical time.
今天我们看第八章，刚才我们所读的这段经文，我们看见尼希米把他的建造告一个段落的时候。
And this.Chapter 8, we see that Nehemiah had concluded an aspect of his physical construction.
在这里带出我今天的题目，水门的复兴。
And this led to the topics of the sermon today, that is revival of the Watergate.
1973年，师母跟我第一次到美国来的时候。
1973, when Mrs. Lee and I first come to the U.S.
那个时候，大众传播的一些报道里面，水门这个 Watergate 这两个字是报道的最多的一个热门的一个消息。
And、of course, the public media in that time was very much concerned with the Watergate event.
这是在美国近代史政治舞台的一个很出名的丑闻。
You can say that this is a very bad scene in the recent U.S. political events.
但是很少基督徒知道，在圣经里面也有一个 Watergate.
But very few Christians are aware of there's another Watergate event in the Scripture.
而圣经里面的这个水门，相反的，可以成为我们历史历代的圣徒的一个学习的榜样。
And yet, indeed, this can be a model of all Christians of all ages to learn from this event.
因为在尼希米记第八章，刚才我们所读的这十二节圣经里面。记载以色列人一次很大的复兴。
On this 12 verses of the book of Nehemiah chapter 8, it shows us a very important revival in the history of the Israelites.
这次的复兴跟当时他们开了一个很大的研经大会有直接而密切的关系。
This revival is closely related to a very important Bible study, if you would, in that time.
从圣经里，从教会历史，从我们的经历里面，我们看见很多时候的一些复兴。是跟圣经有直接的关系。
Through the ages of church history and our experience and the scriptures, we know that a lot of most revival, if not all, are related to the scriptures.
在今天我们要看的这十二节圣经里面，我们看到有不同的角度，当时的这些以色列人跟圣经之间的一个关系。
And through these 12 verses, we see the intimate relationship between all those people and events in terms of relationship with the scriptures.
请各位看尼希米记第八章第一节和第二节。
Let's look again Nehemiah chapter 8, 1 to 2.
在这里说到了七月，以色列人住在自己的城里，那是他们如同一人聚集在水门前的宽阔处。请文士以斯拉将耶和华借摩西传给以色列人的律法书带来。那么七月初一日，祭司以斯拉将律法书带到听了能明白的男女会众面前，就开始下面的一连串的一些事情。
When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. And on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly.Which was made up of men and women, all who were able to understand, and so on.
在这里，我们看到描写一幅当时百姓生活的一个情形。
This gives us a description of the daily life of this group of people.
在尼希米那个时代，这些犹太人结束了150年国外的流荡的生活。
In this time of Nehemiah, the people of Israel has experienced 150 years of captivities in a foreign land.
在150年，他们过那些寄人篱下的生活。
In this 150 years, they are indeed a stranger in a foreign land.
他们回到祖国的土地。
Now they have returned to their homeland.
这里说住在自己的城里面。
It said that they live in their own town.
但是我们发现一件事情。
And yet we discover another event.
外面的安定并不能解除心中的不满足。
The outward peacefulness cannot reflect upon the inner insecurity.
换句话说，物质的享受不能取代灵性的需要。
In other words, our material satisfaction cannot fulfill our spiritual need.
我相信今天在我们许多人的心里面有这样的一些经验。
I do believe that you have a similar experience.
我们物质条件越优越，我们心里面常常越虚空。
The better our material goods seems to have, the emptier our inward needs.
在过去半年，我们在台湾看见台湾的生活有很强烈这样的一个感受。
Of the past 6 months when I back in sabbatical leave in the Taiwan, I indeed experienced a similar experience.
我想我们都知道，我们都同意今天在台湾的物质文明非常的进步。
We all agree the prosperity and the material advance in Taiwan.
但是我们看见今天在台湾迷信的风气比任何以前的时代都要来得直烈。
And then we see the rampant idol worshipping in that country.
为什么今天在台湾庙宇的数目超过以前佛教帝国那个泰国？
What is the reason that the number of temples, the Buddha's temple in Taiwan now exceed the number of temples in Thailand?
证明一件事情，物质可以给我们的满足只是一部分，我们心灵里面的需要不能用这些物质的东西来替代或者来满足我们。
We can only prove that material requirement can only satisfy ourselves partly, and indeed can never fully satisfy us fully.
所以怪不得主耶稣曾经引用旧约圣经上面的话说：“人活着不是单靠食物，乃是靠神口中所出的一切的话。”
Therefore, Jesus has told us that man do not live by bread alone, by the word, but by the word of his mouth.
当我们看见这些以色列人结束了外面流荡的生活，回到自己的国土，应该好好的有一些享受或者很满足了。
As we see those people who come back from captivity, and this may be the time to enjoy some materialistic satisfaction.
但是他们心里面对圣经有一个强烈的渴慕。
And yet they have a deep longing to the scripture in their heart.
他们找了以斯拉来帮助他们。
So they requested Ezra to come to them.
他们希望 Ezra 来能够帮助他们这一些百姓从这样一种干渴的灵性的光景当中被带出来。
They want them to come and help them in their spiritual need.
我们不知道1988年为什么那么多的事情。
I do not understand why they are so eventful in this year of 1988.
特别是我们今天生活在美国，我们知道在暑假的在夏天的时候，在中西部，在美国很多的地方带来很严重的旱灾，没有雨水。
Particularly the past summer we see droughts and heat in the middle western panhandle of the United States.
上个礼拜师母跟我在 Kentucky 在那边领他们一个特别的聚会。
Last week Mrs. Lee and I were in Kentucky leading a meeting.
他们说 Kentucky 的州的这个出名是他们出很多的蓝草叫 bluegrass， 所以他们的车牌上写一个 bluegrass state， 他们的州是出很多很清脆脆到像蓝色的草。
And of course, Kentucky is famous of their production of bluegrass.
但是他们说在前几个月，他们整个州已经变成 yellow grass， 整个都已经变成枯黄色。
But yet they said that over the past couple of months, they have only yellow grass.
当我们把这样的一个景色搬到我们人的心里面的时候
，If we transfer that description into our inner hearts，
今天有多少人真正心里面的满足是得不到答案的
？And how many of us indeed has yellow grass in our heart？
也许因着这件事情，就带来以色列人当时所谓水门的复兴。
It may well lead to the what we call the revival of the Watergate among the Israelites.
今天我们在座许多所谓信耶稣的人，我们所谓做耶稣基督门徒的人
，of those of us who claims to be believers of Christ，
我们有没有真正体验过这本书神的话可以成为我们的供应和满足
？Have you ever experienced that this book as the indeed a fulfillment of your inner need？
这几个月我常常强调供和求的关系。
For the recently, I emphasized the balance between supply and demand.
难道我们看到礼拜天，我们好像把这个礼拜堂坐满，我们就里面也满足了吗？
Is that true that the fact that this hall is filled in Sunday means that our heart is also filled?
请问你我个人跟神之间的关系今天怎么样？
May I ask that what is the relationship between you and God personally?
我们看见水门的复兴，第一步是渴慕圣经。
The first requirement of Watergate revival is the earnest desire to have to want fulfillment.
我们看第二，到底他们复兴第二个这个步骤是什么？
What is the second step of their revival?
朋友，你有没有相信主耶稣呢？我们活在耶稣里福音事工的核心，就是用耶稣真理来引导慕道友相信永生救主，并勉励基督徒 在主耶稣里不断更新生命。如果你还没有相信神的话，就请在我们网页下端点击永生之道，信靠主而得到永生的祝福。